Hello, my name is Dr. David Selden. I'm the Chief of Hematology Oncology at Boston Medical Center and the Director of the Amyloid Treatment and Research Program at Boston University School of Medicine. The Amyloid Treatment and Research Program is one of the only programs in the United States dedicated to developing new treatments for patients with all forms of amyloidosis and to research in these diseases. In this podcast, I'd like to tell you about how amyloidosis is diagnosed. The essential first step in diagnosing amyloidosis is considering the possibility that a patient might have it. Amyloidosis should be considered in what doctors refer to as the differential diagnosis when patients have diseases involving multiple organs. In patients with combinations of heart disease, kidney disease, neurologic disease, gastrointestinal disease, or liver disease without an obvious cause, amyloidosis should be considered. Amyloidosis can involve single organs as well. Patients with cardiac symptoms and a stiff or thickened heart might have amyloidosis. With kidney involvement, patients can lose massive amounts of protein in their urine, which does not happen with very many other diseases. There are also a couple of symptoms that should be major red flags for amyloidosis. There is almost no other disease that causes the tongue to become enlarged, and almost no other disease that leads to episodic bruising around the eyes. In any of these situations, it is appropriate to consider the diagnosis of amyloidosis. How do we prove it? We rely heavily upon a special histologic stain called Congo Red. This is a dye that stains amyloid deposits pink, and they can be visualized under a special polarized microscope. The easiest way to get a sample to test for amyloid is to aspirate fat. To do this, we numb up the skin of the belly and use a large needle to perform a mini liposuction procedure. This is an office procedure, and a surgical biopsy of the fat is usually not needed. The only complication of the abdominal fat aspiration is a little bit of local pain or discomfort and sometimes some bruising. Depending upon the type of amyloid, this test can find amyloid in 70, 80, or 90% of patients with systemic amyloidosis. If this test is negative, we will often proceed to biopsy an involved or suspected organ, which could be the kidney, the heart, or the liver, for example. As you may have learned in another podcast, there are four major types of amyloidosis. Proving that a patient has amyloidosis in an organ is not the end of the process. It is essential to know what type of amyloid is present to plan appropriate treatment. Typing amyloid can involve tests of blood and urine, a bone marrow biopsy, genetic testing, and specialized immunochemical and biochemical testing. Accurate typing is essential to allow us to develop an individualized and appropriate treatment plan. For example, patients with familial or hereditary forms of amyloidosis may want to let their family members know so that they can consider also having genetic testing to find out if they are at risk of amyloidosis. In 2011, there are many treatment options for amyloidosis. It is best for patients if they can be diagnosed early in the course of their disease, before irreversible organ damage has occurred. We would be happy to provide advice to you or your doctors about performing the tests that were described above. It is usual for patients to come for an evaluation at our amyloid treatment and research program once they are actually known to have amyloidosis. In some rare cases, patients come to have us help to determine whether or not that is the case.